Well, good morning. God bless you, beautiful hearts. Today is Sunday, August the 18th. We're continuing in our teaching on prayer and fasting. This is part three. On Sunday, September the 1st, we will be in our Labor Day weekend event, so we will not record or send out a teaching link. We're surely looking forward to being with the beloved ones that will be traveling here to be with us at this location. This morning we will finish the record in the book of Esther. Then next Sunday we'll bring all the learning together from the series to sort of close it out. Last week we left off with the exchange of messages between Mordecai and Esther. The plan was for Mordecai to gather the believers in Shushan for the fast to fast for the space of 3 nights and 3 days. And Esther and her maidens would be doing the same. And I'll be reading from King James Version, unless otherwise noted, and we'll begin in Esther chapter 5, verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Verse 3. Then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even to given thee of half of the kingdom." And Esther answered, "If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto a banquet that I have prepared for them." She didn't just walk in and accuse Haman or begging for their lives. Verse 5. Then the king said, "Cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther had said." So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. At the banquet, again, the king asked Esther about her petition, saying he would grant her up to half of the kingdom. Esther's request was simple. In verse 8, she said, "If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king had said." Haman left the banquet that day, proud as a peacock. On the way home, he spotted motionless Mordecai, and he was filled with displeasure and venom for him. But when he got home, he called his wife and all his friends to his side and bragged about his promotion and above all others who served the king. And on top of that, Esther the queen invited him and the king for another banquet the following day. But Haman, in his hatred for Mordecai, said he would not be content until Mordecai was no longer at the king's gate. Of course, his wife and loyal friends suggested Haman have gallows built, and talk to the king about hanging Mordecai first thing, and they'll go merrily with the king to the banquet. Oh, how this pleased Haman. He must have gone to bed and slept like a baby. We see in chapter 6, verse 1, that not everyone slept like a baby that night. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, that the keepers of the door who sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Come on, what are the odds of this happening? Mordecai was less than 12 hours away from his last breath, and he didn't have a clue. Our God is amazing and so overall powerful and so wonderful. And his ability to do is so truly infinite. You know, God's name does not appear anywhere in the book of Esther, but his nature is everywhere present. When we make intercession for the saints, everything in the universe immediately moves into action to bring our perfect request to pass. From our perspective, it might seem impossible, but from God's perspective, it's already done. Nothing is impossible with God. Knowing and believing God's love for us, we should make all our sleepless nights a thing of the past. There is never a reason to lay awake and worry. There may be reasons to lay awake so you can pray and fast, but not for worry. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." And when we pray and make intercession for the saints according to the will of God, those are his words, and they're going to come to pass. His word will not return void. When we speak it, which we do in perfect prayer, his power is on the move, casting the darkness out of our lives and out of the situations that we are regarding. Just look at this. You talk about the power of our God at work for those who love and trust him. Upon recalling Mordecai saving his life in verse 3, the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There's nothing been done, sir, for him." As morning arrived, so did Haman, who came strolling in from this morning's check on the gallows he had built for Mordecai. Both the king and Haman had one man on their minds, but for opposite reasons. Verse 6, "So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, 'What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?' Now Haman thought in his heart, 'To whom would the king delight to honor more than me?' And Haman answered the king, 'For the man whom the king delighteth to honor,'" thinking of himself, "'let the royal apparel be brought which the king used to wear, and the horses that the king rides upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head, and let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of the one the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor." Then the king said to Haman, "Make haste and take the apparel and horses as thou hast said, and do even so unto Mordecai, the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken." Then took Haman the apparel and the horses and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the streets of the city, proclaiming before him, "Thus shall be done to the man whom the king delighted to honor." Both the king and Mordecai remained clueless, but Haman must have been reeling with a hellish nightmare, like how fast the situation can change. Remember this, please. Things can change with God almost like that, or even faster than that. I don't have that fast. My fingers are not as fast as God's. Allow the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement that they provide to establish with you a biblical expectation for good. That's the hope. Then in verse 12, "And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house, mourning and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh, his wife, unto him, 'If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him.'" I want to read this verse in the New International Version. And verse 13, and told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had happened to him. His advisors and his wife Zeresh said to him, since Mordecai, before whom your downfall has started, is of Jewish origin, you cannot stand against him. If God be for us,
who can be against us?
No one. Not even Haman. You will surely come to ruin. Makes me think of the citizens Rahab described to the spies that Joshua sent. She told them the people of the city had heard about the Red Sea crossing and that they were in terror and their hearts were melted with fear, knowing they could not resist the people of God. In James 2:19, it tells us, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. These truths are not secret to the enemy, but he will try to make them a secret to us. Don't allow this to happen. Well, as they affirmed Haman's death warrant, the king's servants arrived to take Haman to his second banquet of Queen Esther. Now in chapter 7, verse 2, and the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther, and it shall be granted thee? And what is thy request, and it shall be performed, even to the half of my kingdom? Now the timing is right on, and Esther makes her request to the king in verse 3. Then Esther the queen again said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther, queen, who is he and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and queen. Afraid means to be overtaken by sudden terror. Ouch, Haman was overwhelmed with fear and for a good cause. Verse 7. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden, and Haman stood to make request for his life to Esther, queen, for he saw there was evil determined against him by the king. The king went out into the garden. What am I going to do with this guy? Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the words went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. 50 cubits high is 75 feet. Haman surely was promoted that day. He made it up pretty high. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Then in chapter 8, verse 1, on that day did King Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen, and Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told him who he was unto her. This is my cousin who has raised me. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai, and Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite. and his devices that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther, so Esther arose and stood before the king. Although Haman was dead, the killing of the Jews in Persia and Media was still on the calendar because the king had declared it according to the laws of the Persians and the Medes, which cannot be reversed. It was irrevocable. Verse 5, and see if it pleased the king, and said, if it pleased the king, if I have found favor in his sight, and this thing seems right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come upon my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? There's a lot of great people out there, like my cousin Mordecai. These wonderful people. Verse 7, then King Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name, and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. So now we're going to write something, and Mordecai, you write it as you like it, so that we can deliver your people from the situation. Then were the king's scribes called at that time. So all the scribes came in, all these people that were going to do the writing, because they're going to send it out to every province in their particular language, and to the people that definitely need to know, like all of the top leadership. So he had his best men come, his best thinkers, get them together and sit down. And how are we going to write this thing so it works out for these Judeans? Then were the king's scribes called at the time in the third month, that is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof, that would be June 25th. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and to the lieutenants, and to the deputies, and rulers of the provinces, which are from India all the way to Ethiopia, and 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writings, and according to their language. So everybody knows that there's no mistake, there's no question of what was sent out. And he wrote in King Ahasuerus' name, or Xerxes, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent the letter by post. Giddy up, and horseback, and riders on mules, and camels, and young dromedaries. Get going. Go, 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 go. Pony Express. Wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their lives, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and take the spoil of them for prey. So he just gave them what, you know, be God's will. God, the word says, thou shalt not commit murder, right? But to stand for your own life and defend your own life, you definitely have that right from God. Upon verse 12, upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, March the 7th of the next year, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all the people and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. Verse 14, so the posts that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hasted, giddy up, and pressed on by the king's command. And the decree was given at Shushan, the palace. And Mordecai went from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. They enjoyed the reality of their good expectations, and then some, exceeding abundantly above all that they could have asked or thought. After all, the Judeans were in captivity by the Persian Empire. Now they have honor. How does that happen? And what's more, look at this, verse 17. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness and a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for their fear and respect of the Jews fell upon them. Get this in your mind. On March 7th, the decree that Haman presented to the king went into effect. But also on March 7th, the decree that the king authorized for Mordecai went to effect. Also, so on chapter 9, beginning of verse 1, now in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it would turn to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. The Jews gathered themselves together in the cities throughout all the provinces that King Ahasuerus to lay hands on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all the people. And all the rulers of the provinces, and the lieutenant, and the deputies, and the officers of the king helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. Their great respect. You know, the people of the city that had no dog in the fight, so to speak, with Haman, they supported the Jews. This is baloney. Just like the people in Shushan, remember, they were confused. Now the confusion is settled. Mm-hmm. Wicked Haman is the wicked one. And he is no longer the king's right-hand man. Mordecai is. Verse 2, the Jews gathered themselves together in the cities throughout all the province, and King Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all the people. And all the rulers of the provinces, and the lieutenants, and the deputies, and officers of the king helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. They had great respect for Mordecai. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went throughout all the provinces. For this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. And in Shushan, the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men, which included the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews. But not one of the Jews would lay a hand on the filthy material belonging to their enemies. And the book of Esther comes to a glorious conclusion throughout the empire after gaining relief by killing over 75,000 of those who hate them. The Jews rested. Their prayer and fasting turned to joy and feasting. There is a time for both. This celebration became an annual practice called the Festival of Purim, or Peace. Sometimes it's referred to as Esther's festival, or Esther's feast. Take note that not only is God's name not mentioned in Esther, but the words pray and prayer go unmentioned as well. Next week, as we conclude the series, we'll bring all the learning together to close it out, and it should prove to be wonderful and exciting. God bless you.